Okay, well, we're on the air. And it's July 29th. And we're going to look at the old man and the new man this morning.
We're over here.
There's an old man.
There's
a new man. How old are you, Doug?
He doesn't remember.
66.
66. And
I think I'm the oldest cougar.
And Jimmy is
Excuse me, you are not? I'm the oldest cougar here?
I think he was trying to take one for the team.
That would have been nice. I should have stuck my mouth.
Yeah, you stuck your foot in your mouth on that one.
Oh, well.
But we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, we'll start in verse 22. And the word old man is only used a few places in the New Testament. It's used a lot in the Old Testament referring to actual old men. And but it's used as a figure of speech in the epistles a few times.
What page is that?
Oh, it's page 1648. And this is where it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So you don't want to talk like an old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now in this section, it doesn't really explain what the old man is. It just says put it off, right? And if you read on, it tells us put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be angry, sin not, you know, give some practical advice, but it doesn't explain the term old man or new man in the context here. And the reason why is it refers to something previously stated. So when we study the Bible, you know, we want to look in the verse and in the context, but sometimes it's not explained in the verse or the context. It's explained where it has been used before, right? Because if it's been used before, then by the time you get here, it's assumed that you understand what it's talking about. But because we started here, we don't have much of a clue. Unless you've read Ephesians before, which some of us have. And but many times when you're reading through the Bible, you might read Ephesians 1 to 3 one day and read 4 to 6 the next day. And by the time you get to 4 to 6, you forget what it said, especially in the details of the first few chapters. So it's good to go back. Now, the term old man is actually not used previously in Ephesians, but the concept is there. The word conversation, it says, look at verse 22 again, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So the old man has to do with the former conversation. If you looked up the word conversation, you see it means manner of life, your lifestyle, the way you conduct yourself. So we do want to go back and see where it talks about the former conversation. And the word conversation is used in chapter 2 in verse 3, where it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now, in times past, that relates to former conversation. So we want to match these things up. So this gives us a clue that this is where it's going to talk about the old man, right? Right here. The conversation in times past. So let's read the context of this. Starting verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, talking about the old things, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That would be the devil, right? The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. God's not working in people to make them disobedient, is he? So the adversary is. Verse 3, among whom, among these children of disobedience, also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the body and soul. That really kind of defines the old man, the man of body and soul, the one before he's saved, right? Before a person is saved, he's in this manner of life. That's all he has available to him, right? Doesn't have spirit, doesn't yet know and believe the word. So he's walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you know, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, the desires of the body, you know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So I'm going to continue reading here, and we're going to look for things talking about old and talking about new. Sometimes the concepts in the Bible are very simple. Old versus new. It's like Sesame Street, you know. They'll take a simple concept. You know, they have like little Grover, you know, near and far. So he's way far away, and then he gets right up to the camera, and now he's near, and then he goes back far. Near. So the kids get, okay, near and far. So there's an old and new concept here. So under the old, we have a situation that doesn't look very good. You know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and among the children of disobedience. In the Greek, it's sons of apathy. sons of apathia, you know. Thought it'd make a good heavy metal band name. They're the sons of apathy. But we don't want to stay among those, but that's where we all came from, because we're all people like everybody else, right? Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's old, dead in sins, it's in the past tense, hath quickened us together with Christ. That's new. Quickened means made alive, right? He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That's new. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the new situation. That in the ages to come, which is not only new, it doesn't, you know, hasn't happened yet. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the new situation. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Would be the old situation where people work and boast about the work that they do. That's part of the lust of the flesh, is to be able to boast or brag or gloat, you know, about the things that you've done. No place for that in the body of Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that word created, that actually came up in Ephesians chapter 4, where we started, where it says that in 4:24, that you've put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember that? So we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So that's part of the new situation. Created, we usually think of it, you start with nothing and you get something, right? But in this case, you know, we started out as people, right? So there was something to start with, but there was a new thing that was created called the body of Christ that didn't exist before, right? You know, before Christ got up from the dead and people started believing in him, there was no such thing as the body of Christ. It wasn't there. So God had to create something, initiate something new. So we're his workmanship. Verse 11 now. Wherefore remember, we're going back to that which is old. Wherefore remember that in being time past, Gentiles or nations in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So Gentiles, it talks about the Gentiles as one group, right? All the nations that are uncircumcised. But there's a lot of subcategories of Gentiles, right? Among the nations, there's the French, the German, the British, the Greek, the barbarians and the Scythians, and there's all these subdivisions where the different nations don't necessarily consider themselves one with every other nation until they came up with the United Nations, right? But most people that are members of a nation, like if you're Hungarian or if you're Slobovian or, you know, Russian, you think of yourself as, I'm Russian or I'm German or I'm French. And you don't think I'm just a Gentile. You think of who you are. And that national identity sometimes is your source of pride or or shame, whatever the case may be. But it's part of the way you think of yourself. But here it's going to be different now. So in time past, you were Gentiles or nations in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, old man times, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That gives you a better picture of what the old man was. Hopeless, godless, you know, without God, without having promises made to you. But now, this relates now to new man, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, that's previously, old man times were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now you have the far and near. The little rover. Far and near. For he is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace, who hath made both one. The both being those of Israel who were circumcised and those of the other nations that were not. The near and the far are made one, and he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That's a word we don't use frequently in our modern English, but it means conflict. He abolished the conflict between the two, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, because the commandments commanded Israel to be separate from all the other nations by command. They were supposed to be separate. It wasn't just that they were snobbish. They might have even liked people who were of other nations, but they were commanded by God not to mix with them, to keep themselves separate. But that has been done away now in Christ. Okay, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh, in Christ's flesh, the enmity or conflict, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace. Now, those Gentiles that are not believers in Jesus Christ are still separate from those of Israel that do not believe in Jesus Christ. But those that do believe in Jesus Christ, whether they're from any other nation or from Israel, are now one. So the dividing line is now Christ. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision anymore. It's, do you believe in Jesus Christ or not? So that makes the peace among the believers. The unbelievers still have no peace. And they're still without God and without hope. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, way far away from the camera, and to them that were near, the ones close up. For through him we both have access by what? One spirit unto the Father. So spirit comes into play. Now the new man is not just body and soul anymore, but the new man has spirit. That's a big distinction. That's like a whole new kind of man, right? It changes mankind when that man has spirit in him. Anyone that has spirit is like a different kind of organism, almost. It changes them. It might look the same from the outside, but on the inside, there's a big change, having spirit. Verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. You're not the old man. You're not without God and with hope anymore. But your fellow citizens with the saints, with the holy ones, with those that are separated out from the rest of the world. And you're of the household of God. Heard about that in manifestations today, how God has claimed us and caused us to be part of his family. We're part of his group now. We're separated not away from God, but we're separated to God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we have two analogies, one of a body with different members of one body. The other analogy is a building, and we're different parts of the building. There's a lot of things that make up a building, right? You look at this house, there's concrete in the basement for the foundation. There's beams covered by plaster and slat and wallpaper. There's archways. There's electrical work that goes through. There's plumbing that goes through the house. There's a roof on the top. There's carpet. All the things that are part of the house, it's not just a homogeneous, the same thing building up the house. There are different types of things, but it's all part of the house. They all belong, right? We're not like old Lego blocks in the body of Christ. We have different functions, different personalities, different things that we do to make up a building, just like the body has different, you know, things visible, things not visible, you know, on the inside that do different jobs that are necessary for the body to function. If we were all the same, if all the cells were exactly the same kind of cell, you just have a blob of one thing, you know. But the diversity within the body, but connected together, you know, the genetics in each cell, you know, it all started out with one that's subdivided and specialized. And it has the same head that's governing the whole body. It's pretty cool the way God thought it out. So in chapter 3, it talks about the mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in verse 6. And of the same body, the body thing is so important here, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So it mentions the body here, and it also mentions the building again in chapter 3, where it talks about verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That describes a building. There's a length to it. There's a width to it. There's a depth to it. And there's a height to it. There's dimensions that describe the whole thing in all individual parts. And then in chapter 4, it talks about the one body. In verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This describes the new man. The new man. You know? In fact, that new man we read about in chapter 2, verse 15, it used that phrase for to making himself of twain one new man. That's really what the new man is. A lot of times I think of just the new individual, but it's the whole new man, the whole body of Christ is what it's referring to here. So when you're going to put on the new man, you're putting on the idea that you're members of a body. I'm a member of something that's bigger than myself. It's not just me, new and improved, but it's me as part of the body of Christ. Because that made in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In fact, the word make in 2:15 is the same word as create in the Greek. So that's what's created in righteousness and true holiness is the body of Christ. So I see myself as a member. You know, I might do things differently than what the way Barbara does things. I might do different things than Barbara does, but we're connected together. And the connection is not just a relationship between the two of us, but it's a relationship with Christ as the head of both her and me and everybody else. This body of Christ would include people that we don't even know that believe in Jesus Christ. People that go to the different churches around the whole world. People from all different nations, from China, from Japan, from, you know, Mongolia, places anywhere an individual believes in Jesus Christ, whether the nation as a whole believes in Jesus Christ or whether if one or two people that live there believe, they're still part of the body of Christ and living in that place. Right? Maybe believers that you knew long ago that don't hang out with us anymore, are they still members of the body of Christ? Absolutely. What if they don't like us anymore? They're still members of the body of Christ, right? You know, what if they decided not to believe in Jesus Christ anymore? They're still members of the body of Christ. Because that spirit that they got is permanent. When Christ comes back, they'll all get up with the rest of us.
Put up with us again.
Yeah. And we'll all be on the same page then. It's a lot sweeter when we're all on the same page now. But you can't control what other people do. You know? You would like them to believe. You would like them to know everything that you know. And we can share with other people what we know from the scriptures. But we can't make them believe or participate. All we can do is encourage. You know, we can testify to the truth that we know, and we can encourage them to do so. But this book of Ephesians, it's really all about the body of Christ. And I guess that's really the main point when it comes to the new man. It's bigger than just the new individual that's saved, but the whole body of Christ with Christ as the head. And if we can get that in our thinking, then the other things that it talks about become very clear. If you go back to Ephesians 4, I want to read those verses again that we started with. It says that, verse 22, says that you put off concerning the former conversation. We're now a little more fresh in our minds what that's talking about. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You put that off, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're deceitful lusts. people can be led to want things that aren't even good for them, right? They can be driven to go after things that will actually hurt them when they get it, right? It's the course of this world. The devil who's in charge of the world isn't out to bless people. But he's out to make people think that he will. You know, he entices people and makes you think this is really what you should be going after. And then he winds up destroying people in the process if they follow. So we put all that stuff off. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, the whole body of Christ, which after God is created, that new man that was created from Jew and Gentile in Christ, in righteousness and true holiness. That holiness, again, it doesn't mean people have an idea of holiness as means, can you have a halo on top of your head? And, you know, you do, you're just a very religious person. But the holiness just means you're sanctified, you're separated from the rest of the world. Having the Spirit of God and believing in Jesus Christ, that separates you from the others that don't believe in Christ and don't have the Spirit, right? That's the true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are what?
Members
one of another. So now, understanding that the new man is the body of Christ, that makes more sense. Why don't we lie to each other? Because we're members of each other. We don't want to be taking advantage of each other, you know, saying things to deceive or hurt each other, because we're members of the same body. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why would I want to be angry against another member of the same body? You know, I want to be at peace with every other member of the same body that I belong to. Neither give place to the devil. There's no place in the body of Christ for the devil. I'm sorry. He can't get born again. Let him that stole steal no more. Why? Because you're stealing from a member of the same body as you. That wouldn't make any sense. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Just like in the human body, the head will direct one part to meet the needs of another part, right? Your liver, whatever it does, you know, benefits the whole rest of the body. The head directs the liver to do so. The rest of the body might not even be aware that the liver's doing its job. Unless it stopped doing its job, then it might hurt, right? The kidneys, you know, they filter fluids through the body. You don't see the kidneys doing their job, but if they ever stop working, you get sick, right? The head is directing the kidneys constantly to be doing its job. So you get an itch on, you can see the skin, you know. Say you get an itch over here. Well, that part of the body can't scratch it. Even this hand can't scratch an itch. That's right there. It's not possible. So the head will direct another part of the body that can reach it to do that. Or that, whatever is needed. So the head directs the body to take care of itself. And that's what God is doing right here through his word. He's directing members of the body, rather than stealing from each other, hurting one another, to actually do things to help one another. That's the way the body gets along. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, one part of the body shouldn't be bad-mouthing another part of the body. Even though sometimes our mouth will talk about the stomach and say, you know, it's way too big. But we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't bad-mouth ourselves. But we should use words to minister grace unto the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which we all have, right? We've all got the Spirit of God in us, and God himself as the giver of that Spirit, he gets grieved if the members of the body don't bless each other. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. The body should be kind to itself. Different members of the body should be kind to the other members of the body. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, putting off the old, the old man, the body and soul man, corrupt according to deceitful lusts, just following the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the body and soul, that gets put off, and that's for us to do. And we all have to do that because we all started out that way, right? We all still have maybe some of those old habits. And they creep up on you, especially when you look around you and you spend time with other people that are still in that state. It's easy to relate to that. And, even habits that you didn't have, you can pick up from other people that are old man category, you see? That's why it's so good to spend time with the body of Christ. It's great to spend time in the Word. Again, we like to read the whole Bible, but we do focus on the part that's written to the body of Christ. I encourage everyone to read through the whole Bible, but here and there, in between doing that, read the epistles. Take it in. Understand the things that it's telling us. And put on that new man. We put it on by renewing our minds, by seeing ourselves as members of the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. We're members in particular. We all have our functions that we do to not only bless ourselves, but to bless everybody else. And the more we think that way, the more we function that way, God's blessed, we're blessed, the body of Christ is thriving, God is glorified, and life is sweet. So we thank you, dear Father, for being so good to us, for bringing us into this wonderful body to make us your own as you have. Even when we were those old men that were not so great by any standard, but now saved and rescued and placed in the body where you saw fit to put us, and with abilities and with privileges and with instructions and with encouragement and with one another to love and to support and to help, that we can thrive together as members of the greatest thing ever, the great body of Christ. And we thank you in his name. Amen.